Welcome to Terry Laundrie's Seed Theory Observations for Sunday, August 29th. Well, we have reached an important juncture as far as seed theory is concerned, passing the projected top for the 13th advanced decline T in the chart, first chart. And there is a small refinement that can be made in the second chart, which we'll discuss in detail in a little bit of time. Which gives us the rally into the early part of the new month, but basically we don't think it's going anywhere, as there's there are enough problems that people aren't really going to get terribly interested in a Federal Reserve's pep talk or anything like that. Although they had a good run on Friday, and it can bleed over according to these T's. Most of the T's are all completely gone. And I have in the third chart, which is in the next section, there's another way you can draw the advanced decline T if you want to. And that one's gone as well. So we're all pretty much looking forward to a change in trend for the long term. And that would be a continuation of the weakness that started in the late April time period. And we have an outstanding forecast of going down to 2013, maybe a bottom there, but another bottom 2016, and no mega T bull markets until the gold T ends in the year 2020. So that maybe by a couple of years after that would be the time that you would look for equities to really turn on and be able to do the kind of things that was seen between the 82 and the 1990s, starting from 82 and going into the 1990s. So that leaves my company, which is happens to be the people paying the bills, up to a strategy. And now that summer is over, or it's practically over, and we have to get into things that are going to pay the bills. Most of the projects that I'm going to be discussing here and at T-Theory Foundation, where we do technical updates, have to do with the new projects which are being set up in the first chart that you see, which is the advanced decline T's for the 95 period to the 2010 period. That's the only period we really now have to look at. But contained in that is the capability of also looking at gold bonds, two different gold as bullion, gold as Tocqueville gold, bonds, either high yield bonds or high quality bonds, and total return of the S&P 500, and just of the S&P 500, which is shown here. This is just the index. This is if you trade futures, this is the kind of thing that you're trading. But if you're an investment, you have to include the dividends in that, and that's the total return number. So we've spent the summer with a programmer getting these things all set up, and I can now quickly choose what sort of things that I want to go into. And in the past, what we've done is the last 5 years, our company is the investments that the company has made have over the 5 year period. Have produced an average annual return of 11% versus the total return for the S&P 500, which is like, it's minus a little tiny bit, but it's basically zero. Okay, and the way we accomplished that was basically when we went to an advanced decline T, we didn't have anything to do with the equity market anymore. You went to some sort of a haven, which actually used to pay some interest, which they don't do anymore. So what we have done in that time period was, if we were following that, and then using what we see in other words, we would have left the market. We left to get out of the what you would call the equity side in the first recovery after the April top, which was in early May, because that was a conservative measure, and we're basically in the best bond strategy, which is discussed elsewhere, and we're going into the. So we're still into that, and that's where we're going. There is no, despite the fact that you have a projection for a bottom in 2013, there really isn't any way to say where the center post of a new T is, because they come up in random sizes. You can see in the first chart, you've got this T10 and you've got T11, which crept in during the dot-com revolution. And then you see the market actually went on above T11. Well, you can go draw down and do T11A if you want to. Because there's another way you can draw a T in, and you can get another run Anyway, but that's mostly short-term tea stuff, and these small teas don't do very much for you. You can refine them when you need to, but as far as the big picture is concerned, once you start getting small teas, you're just going into a big top, and then the consequences are going to be terrible later on. In the expiration of the 12 tea, the breakdown is quite severe. Breakdown of T13, it looks like it's a weak T. Maybe it's severe, maybe it's just an extended decline. You don't know whether it's going to be one of those long drawn out things or whatever it is. But in any case, you still have to have a cash buildup phase. And so the advanced decline line has to come down for a period of time before you can get a big deal out of it. We still have this small T, which you see in the at the right of the first chart here, which is basically the drop from the April high down to the oversold condition, and that does have a few days left in it. If you go to the second chart, you'll see that I have drawn two T's that possibly exist. The S&P T is would go a ways into September. You can count that out if you want to, but those almost never make it because the market is not likely to be rallying very much in here. It's just kind of rolling off. They tend to go off early. However, the small advanced decline T, which is drawn in and does give you like 3, 4, 5 days, that's probably is okay. And they could get toppy too. But by the time we finish next week, we're back next Sunday, we should be done with that. And on the Wednesday, I will do the update. And we'll take a look at the small T status and make a judgment on that. But that's just business. That's just old business, and we're looking for the new business. The new business is that instead of going into this business of you were bullish for the right side of the 13th tee, and then you bearish until you can find another center post of another tee, we actually have two concurrent bull markets running, which is in the next section, and that is the gold and the bonds. And since that's part of our strategy, those are the projects that we're going to be working on. And so when we start doing T-theory observations during the fall and in the winter, which is the times when I do most of my research, all I'm presenting at that period of time is all the new charts and so forth. Some of that stuff is proprietary to the company, but for the most part, I'll just tell you what it is. And you can go off and work on it yourself, because it's not that complicated anyway. But what we have is we have all this data that goes back in, and what we're doing is taking this chart program here, instead of plotting the S&P versus the advanced decline line, we'll be plotting the total return on government bonds versus the bond oscillator, which I've discussed before, and we'll be setting up the program to draw in the T's, then we'll look at what the error rates are and so forth and so on. Important thing to remember about when you're building up a structure of T's is that you can only have one set of rules. And so some people will say, well, I think you could construct T13 a different way. But if you go, what we will be doing as a byproduct of this is to go look at all advanced decline T's from 1929 to the present. And you can only have one set of rules to cover them all. Everything else is going to just be an error where the T came out, whether the market came out making a top later than predicted, or it made it earlier than predicted. But statistically, they'll show that they sometimes they overgo, sometimes they under, but on the average, they're about right. So you know, don't get tied up on too much of that. So once we complete that, then we get to the gold. And my interpretation of the those two bull markets is basically that the you have two kinds of people in the real in the investment world, that those that favor equities, which are basically the way that you grow, and conditions are now becoming apparent where they're abandoning equities, and their natural alternative is bonds. And so I would say that the money that's going into the bonds is just really the money that's coming out of equities, because they're comfortable with the bonds as the backup phase. They see it as a long-term haven until things turn right on stocks. In the other great investment field is real estate, which has been completely destroyed by the by excessive leverage and speculation, and you know, that's not likely to turn around for another 5 years. The big thing in real estate is location. It's the power, what geographers call the power of place. It's the position, more than it is the particular structure, and they try to make money off of it. But it is something like a hard asset, and I think that is that mentality is the alternative investment is hard assets, okay, of which gold happens to be the more convenient one for financial analysis. But that's it's the abandonment of the two normal periods, new normal investment. The old normal investments are fading off, and money is escaping for it, and it's going to its alternative. And the alternatives are, for our purpose of analysis, is gold or gold mining stocks, and some kind of bonds. And so that's the way the company goes. So that's what we do the analysis on, and that's what we're going to confide our discussion in. Now, the other project that I have to do, which I have to catch on the bear market, is the tutorials have to be redone. And as part of the tutorials, I'm going to start with the probably with the big pictures stuff, and then work down. And what I'm going to do is, I get tired of having to answer the same question every time we go around one of these loops. You know, you go through the cycle of these advanced decline tests, and you get the same questions back. So what I'm going to do is try to do a bang up job, a complete job on the tutorials, and then opening it up to try to have people only send questions relative to that tutorial. And then I'll take the good questions, and I will add a Q&A session, and it'll be, Johnny asked this question, and they'll give them my answer, and I'll include it, whatever charts they are. And and then I'll say, go read the tutorial, and then go read over what people ask, and now you'll build up a library of questions and answers, and that'll become the basis for a book at a later date. The daily chart, which is which we cover at the foundation site on Wednesday, is undergoing a revision, because we're transferring over to this kind of a program. And I think instead of doing that chart shows 13 months typically in my old program, but I'll probably open that up to like an option between 2 years and 4 years, because very often what you have to do is you have to see back a ways. You always want to see back almost 10 years in some of these charts in order to see what the last bear market, you're going into a new bear market, you like to see what the old bear market looked like. So that's going to get changed around too. And then in that particular period, you'll notice that, for example, in the bear market from 2000 to 2002, what you had is you had these spikes down. The market would go down slowly, then it would have a selling climax, then it would come back to a downtrend line and another climax. That's typically what you end up with in bear markets, is that they'll go down for a while, then they have a selling climax, then you have a recovery, and the recovery looks like a new bull market. I don't want to get too much into that, because that's not where I'm coming from. And so what I'm going to do is build an indicator that, or use the envelopes in order to find out where those climaxes are, and just concentrate on, if you say there's no climax, in a downtrend, and you have to confirm that. And then if you're in a selling climax mode, you go look for the bottom of the selling climax, and you say, well, it's probably a 50% retracement, and the T's will show up, and something like that. But that's a more profitable way to kind of look at the market from that standpoint, once you've established the trend. You can't establish a trend on T13 going down until you go below the center post of the small t here. That's just the way it goes. Okay, and you can't start counting the next T cash buildup until the advanced decline line makes a top. It's made one top, but if it comes up and makes a new high, you have to move the count point to later top. So that pretty well covers that kind of a. That's pretty much where we're going on that point. I don't think I'm going to put another audio section up on the third chart here, because that pretty well covered what the story is on that one. But I had a couple people drop by and they asked me some questions, and I'll tell you what I said to them. First of all, we look at the long-term treasury bonds, which is the against gold, that's the bullion, and then that's all against the S&P 500 as a separate chart on the bottom side. I'll point out that you can, if you just draw a simple T in the price index, which is at the lower portion, it's the SPXT, you notice that in the advanced decline T, what you did was you said that the peak occurred in the advanced decline line turned in June, and that's pretty fundamental. And then we split the bottom, the double bottom, in the mid-November and the early March period to center post the T in that split. And then we came up with a certain top date, which was just about August 26. Okay. In this one, what happened is the AD line topped out in June, early June, but the S&P topped out in October, and that's because there was a short range T there. Okay. And the bottom really is in the early March time period. So if you draw that T in, what you do is you shift everything to the right. And what you end up with is you still end up with another T that's still expiring. So there isn't any magic bullet about it. The problem with this concept is you can't run it back through history. See, it won't work. The advanced decline line will run back to 29, and it'll you know, sometimes it's early, sometimes it's late, but it's generally on target. These here, it runs out of interpretation because it can't find the momentum peak for the left end of the T. So I just mentioned that and pressing it. The bond T, which is coming, is a big red bond T up at the bonds are the red plot, and you have a peak, and as the turn around in the where the market turned around, the bonds has collapsed because they didn't need any secure area, and you came down and you made a accumulation pattern going to the center of that bond T. The right end of the T we previously discussed is June or July. So that pretty much says that the concerns which drive the bonds up are going to be with us. Doesn't necessarily mean that there's a low in June or July, but as far as the strategy is concerned, it means that there should be a top there. We've looked at some of the other T's, and they look okay. But it's not until I do the daily stuff and refine the oscillators the best that I can, then I build all the T's up, then I find out what the errors are that we're going to know that's true. Another point that I made to people that wanted to listen to anything, I said, it's mostly people that have houses on Nantucket, and so they just wander by, is that I believe these plots all show total return, so that the all income and distributions are contained in them. But you'll find out that one of the shortcomings of this chart is that you can pretty well see that if you average the two investments together, they're a lot less spiky. In other words, they're not correlated, and in some cases, they're inversely correlated. So if you split your money between them in some proportion for one versus the other proportion, you find out you're better off because they're both bullish, but they're compensations in the non-correlation. So if you were to average these two together, which in some proportion you were to test it out, you would come up with something that looks that would look better from an investment standpoint. It is a steady bull market, and its rate of advance would be in the order of 9% per annum or something like that. If you were to actually be higher than that, but it depends on what kind of gold you're using and stuff like that. In the better way to do that, however, is to get into the T's and then use the T's to sort out where the peaks are so that you're not just relying on the inverse correlation. It's helpful a lot of the time, but you have to be in a T for the respective investment to get things going. That's the hard part, and the gold one is going to be the difficult one because from what I've seen, you can tell that the market is rested, it's getting ready for a run, but you can't really say how long it's going to last because they're not sure whether how to draw the T's in it. But we're quite sure that there's a long-range T, so that it keeps going up. I just make a point that the gold has risen up to the previous high. It's just over 1,200. That could be a little bit of a toppy phase, but as far as we know, it's you know, sit an uptrend and so forth, and we haven't found anything interesting on that. The bonds took a sharp drop on Friday on the Bernanke optimism, but in a weekly chart you can't see it because it's only down a small. It had a big run up prior to the conference in Jackson Hole, okay, and then it gave it back on Friday, so it doesn't show up here. So that pretty well winds up what we're going to do, and I think that when we get back next week, you know, summer's over and stuff like that, I think I'll have my first bond tee set up, and that's probably what we're going to look at, along with the, we always look at the advanced decline tee picture, always we'll have a short-term outlook on that, and we'll get the bonds taken care of. And maybe try to look at the goal, because those last two items are the ones that I have to pay attention to. Thanks for checking in, and we'll be back next Sunday. And, of course, Wednesday we'll be taking a look at the foundation site. Thank you.